Thank you for your time.
So being able to have a very long battery life on a very remotely deployed device, very important. Now, what's the best way to say battery life? Turn the device off. That's the best way. Or turn the radio off, at least. And so that's what NB-IoT does. And it can, typically for a cell phone, it's going to wake up about every 2 seconds or so to listen for the paging channel. Now, for NB-IoT, we can set that to be up to 3 days, where the device is not listening, the radio is turned off. And so that's one of the key ways we can conserve this battery life. And within that, we have another kind of secondary tweak, we call it EDRX. And what that means is when I wake up, typically I'll be listening to the paging channel just like the cell phone, but I can configure it to wake up for a few pages, go back to sleep, wait a little while longer, wake up. And that way, if it's got some, let's say a truck is parked in front of the device, when the truck moves away, I can hear better. So that's a way to kind of alleviate that situation with still saving the battery. Now, another really important part of NB-IoT, typically these devices that we're targeting, they're kind of low cost, like a water meter. I don't know if you've ever seen one. They're pretty simple devices. And all of a sudden, if I'm going to add communication technology into that device, it has to be at the right price point. And so I won't go through all the details, but basically, because NB-IoT devices don't move around too much, I don't have so much of a Doppler requirement like I would for a human cell phone. Also, since they're usually going to be stationary, I can do, instead of doing a handoff between base stations, if it moves from one to another, it would be make connection, break connection, and then make another connection. So for a device like a meter, that's totally okay. And so we can basically simplify these kind of network constraints and then reduce the silicon complexity. And that really helps to drive down the cost. And so if we take a look at just different technologies that are out there to connect devices, okay, thank you. So I think I'm going to have to talk really fast here. But if we take a look at the different devices, we can see about from a LTE, it would be around $30 for the module to be integrated into that device, all the way down to NB-IoT, which would come in at about $5. And so that's really important if I'm talking about a $20 water meter, all of a sudden to connect $30 modem into it with LTE capability. Pretty tough business case. So that's a key point. I think I'll skip through some of these slides in the interest of time, but maybe we'll talk about this one. And this is starting to go into the difference between what we call REL 13 and REL 14. Now, REL 13 is what's currently standardized, and that's what we're deploying commercially right now. We're also working with operators here in Africa, so I think you'll be seeing a lot of announcements about that in the very near future. Now, for REL 13, it's the initial version, and if, like everything else, there's always the upgrades. So REL 14 is being standardized right now, and one of the things it has is called over-the-air time difference of arrival. So basically, it can measure the time difference of signals coming from different base stations and then triangulate on that and make a position location. Now, you might say why that's important, and the reason is because now, all of a sudden, I don't need to have a GPS chip in the target device, so I can reduce my cost even more, and also the battery consumption goes down. So that's kind of the key secret. So this kind of helps to enable new classes, like tracking is very important for this. Let's see. Okay. Multicast is another feature, very important, that's being added into REL 14. So I won't go into the details, but you can imagine if I have to download a bunch of firmware to thousands of devices and I have to do that one by one, it's going to take a long time. With a multicast capability, I can do that immediately, or nearly immediately. This one's about sunsetting of 2G and 3G. And so in the cellular industry, this is definitely something we see going on, that some of the kind of leading operators like AT&T are already closing down their 2G networks. And so when they do that, they want to move to a complete LTE deployment. But they still have the machine-to-machine connection problem, so that's where NB-IoT comes in. So NB-IoT actually helps them to sunset their existing 2G networks and move into an all-LTE type of environment. And I might mention it here, there's another flavor of low-power wide area that's been standardized, and that's called EMTC. Now, EMTC is very similar to NB-IoT in that it's targeted towards machine devices, but it's a little bit more targeted, something that has more delay and more bandwidth requirements. So an example might be a child tracker, where at least the kid has to be able to speak into it and say, oh, I need help, and that message can be sent over the networks and reach the final. So there it has a requirement to handle about 8 kilobits per second. So that would be an example of where EMTC might be more appropriate than NB-IoT. The good news is that both are supported in the current networks as of RHEL 13. And this one, it's a lot of detail, but it's basically the whole process goes from 4G where we are now to 5G, which will be about 2020. And that's going through these very well-defined steps. RHEL 13 was the first, then there's RHEL 14, which adds some of these features, RHEL 15, and then RHEL 16 will be a freeze, no changes in terms of the low power wide area networks. And then finally, RHEL 17 would be what we, you know, in the vernacular call 5G. And so an important part of 5G, basically this triangle to the right over here, is there's three main areas. So one is basically the low power wide area, NB-IoT, and there's a direct migration path from that. So basically this has got backward compatibility built into it. So when you talk about 5G, you could kind of consider NB-IoT as the very first part of 5G. So I think my time is getting pretty close to done here. I'll just go through a really few quick cases. Again, I talked to earlier about interoperability, and interoperability is really, really important. So that's something that's been focused on in NB-IoT. So devices with different terminal vendors, we could have Qualcomm, Intel, Huawei making chipsets. We could have Sierra Wireless or Quectel or uBlox making modules, and then all different types of terminals integrating those modules. And then on the network side, we could have Ericsson or Huawei or Nokia equipment, both at the radio or the core network. And so that all has to work together globally, and it does. And these are just some examples of rollouts that are going on right now. With Deutsche Telekom, they're deploying in 8 countries right now in Europe this year. So I would say this is kind of the year of NB-IoT in terms of telecom deployments. Vodafone also announced their commercialization, and they're deploying in Spain, Australia, et cetera. And China Unicom is deploying 800 sites in Shanghai, just one city in China, so you can kind of get the scale. China Telecom is deploying their nationwide network. Okay, and I guess my time is up, so I will say thank you very much. And if there's any further questions on narrowband IoT or what we're doing with it in the industry, I'd be very glad to take those maybe at next coffee break. So thank you.